Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
Hey, if God's been good to you, give him right now what he deserves. I want to say, before you sit, I want to say, it's so cool that y'all showed up eventually. I want to encourage you to do something. When 10 o'clock gets here, be here. And here's why I want to tell you that. It's what we're doing between the beginning of the service and now is putting our heart toward him. It's recognizing who he is and bringing him glory and honor and praise and worship. And so please come and be a part of that. You may be seated. Now listen, as we're going, we're in a series in the book of John that will rock your world. Today we're going to go into a verse, John chapter 14. The first few verses are usually the foundation for what everybody has when they picture God. Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So from an early age, here's the thing. Almost all of us, from the time we're children, when we think about God, and we told y'all earlier that A.W. Tozer said, what comes to mind when you think of God is the most important thing about you. And for most of us, from an early age, when we think about God, we think about a place. We envision this place called heaven with lots of gold and lots of stuff, and we see somehow some kind of image of God in heaven, maybe on a throne, maybe a big grandfather looking face, or maybe an angry, I don't know what it is, but you've got this image of God in heaven. And so for me, I can remember as a young man, my image of God was all wrapped around just this idea that God is up there, out there somewhere, big, great God, but that's all I understood of God. And if I believe hard enough, really, really try to believe hard enough, then he'll give me whatever I ask of him. And how many people found disappointment in that at some point in your life? How many people have ever asked God for things that he didn't give you? How many people have had this image of God up there somewhere, out there in heaven, and yet when it all comes down, you're kind of in this place where you're like, I feel like he's so distant from me and so removed and like I don't really know him, and people talking about knowing him and loving him and being in relationship with him, and I don't feel like I've got that. And when I pray, I try so hard to believe, but he doesn't answer my prayers. I had one of those prayers just yesterday. I was out on paddle boards with my sons and my little niece and a good friend, but we were paddle boarding, and when I came behind these guys, I had stopped to talk with a gentleman, and I came up to where my two sons were. They had been on their paddle boards, and my younger son said, got a bad situation. He said, we played gladiators, and I knocked my big brother off the board. Yoo-hoo! And then he said, but his Oakleys fell off. And so, if you don't know, I mean, Oakleys, you know, these are like $200 pair of glasses, you know what I'm saying? And $200 pair of glasses have fallen off into the water, and they've been looking for them, and they can't find them. And so, as we're all there in the water, you know what I'm saying? And the water was kind of shallow. It was about this deep. And so, I got off my board. I said, we'll find it, we'll find it. And they said, we can't find it. Make a long story short, I started praying, God, help me to find them. And y'all, anybody ever do that? God help me, you know, like God help me to find them, you know, and really try to believe that he's going to help you to find them, you know, because if you don't believe, it's not going to happen. I got to believe, you know, and so I'm believing and feeling with my toes on the bottom of the Waccamaw River, okay, and y'all down there, you wouldn't believe the kind of stuff you feel on the bottom of the Waccamaw River, you know what I'm saying? It's like real mushy and gushy and, you know, and I'm mushy and gushy and I'm going, God, please help me to find the glasses. And I'm starting to really believe, like I can envision my toe catching the glasses and pulling them up. And, you know, I just know it's going to happen. Anybody besides me? I'm going like, God, somewhere in heaven, listen to me. Help me find the Oakleys. There are $200 Oakleys. You know, and if I find them, then I know my son will believe in you. You know what I'm saying? You know, right? If we find the glasses. So anyway, if you've ever been in that place, we take this image of God that we have from taking something that was said out of context, that God is up there, out there somewhere, this kind of removed God on a throne somewhere. And if I really believe and ask him, he's going to give me what I want. And we don't get at all what was revealed about the Father. So I want you to go to your Bibles. I want you to look at John. We're reading John chapters 12, 13, and 14 during this week. And we're going to go on into 15, 16, and 17 next week, but chapters 12, 13, and 14. And I want to tell you what I'm going to quote to you today. Some of it will be from the old NIV and some from the new NIV. And so if you see something a little different, don't worry about it. But basically what we're doing is we're just saying, look, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. And in John chapter 13, verse 1, I just want to set the context for what Jesus was saying about this Father in heaven and about who God really is and about the relationship that we're supposed to have with him and about how he's going to answer our prayers and all that stuff. And so let's back up to chapter 13, verse 1. And in chapter 13, verse 1, basically I'm going to tell you what happens. It says that the Passover festival was near, and Jesus knew that it was time for him to leave this world and go to his Father. Having loved those who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love, or loved them to the end. And so it says that the evening meal was in progress, and Satan had already prompted Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And then listen to this. It says in verse 3 of chapter 13, it says that Jesus knew that God had placed or put everything under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. This is going to be very important. He had come from God and was returning to God, and everything was under his power. He knew he had all power, all authority, and it's all his. And so knowing this, it says in verse 4, so he got up from the table and took off his outer garment. And as he took off his outer garment, I'm going to ask for a friend to come up here. This is David, who leads our youth. Can we give a hand to David? David, just lean down there with me, buddy. So anyway, so here we are, and we're at the table. And when they're at a table, at that time, they didn't have chairs, right? And so kind of low table, they reclined on kind of a couch. So they're all there at the Passover meal. Jesus gets up from the table, takes off his outer garment. And then it says that in verse 5, that he poured water into a basin. And it says in verse 4 that he had taken a towel and wrapped it around his waist. And, you know, sign of a servant. And it says this, that he then began to wash his disciples' feet. And so Jesus, Son of the living God, is washing his disciples' feet and drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. I want you to imagine what that was like for John. Let's just imagine this is John. You'd have a hard time maybe even looking at Jesus while this is happening. By the time Jesus, in verse 6, gets to Peter, Peter's saying, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? He said, no, Lord, never, never. You'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. He said, then not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And Jesus was just saying, I'm going to wash away your sin. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to do so much for you. And you got to let me do these things for you. Well, having finished washing his disciples' feet, Jesus got back up, said he put on his outer clothing again, and when he did, he got back into his place. Now, I just want you to see something. I want you to see that right here in the midst of his disciples is a basin full of dirty water and a cloth of servants. And then Jesus begins to talk to his disciples. That's the context. And as he talks to his disciples, he goes into talking to them in a way that will just absolutely blow your mind. After he had put back on his outer garment, it says in verse 12 that he said to his disciples, he said, "Do you realize what I've done for you? Do you realize what I've done for you?" He said in verse 13, he said, "You call me Lord and Master, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example for you that you should do as I've done for you." So he's saying to his disciples, look, you ought to be doing this yourself, and you ought to be doing this for each other. Then he said, "No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." But then he goes in verses 18 through 30 and basically says, "Well, I'm talking to you, but not really everybody, because there's one here at the table with me whose feet I just washed who is going to betray me." And that was Judas. And by the time it's over, John leans up against Jesus because Jesus said, "One's going to betray me," and says, "Who is it?" Because Peter across the table had said, "Ask him who it is." And yeah, isn't that cool? And Jesus said, "The one that I give the bread to, that I dip into the..." And so he dips the bread and he hands it to Judas. Judas goes out and Jesus says, "What you must do, do quickly." At this time, John kind of hardly even understands what's going on here. But right before that, so he's just said to Peter, "Look, Peter, you're going to deny me." You know, I mean, he's going to say that. And Judas is going to betray him. And all this stuff is happening. It seems kind of crazy. And then in verse 31, and I'm doing that so you can just follow along. But in verses 31 and 32, as soon as Judas leaves, and he's on his way to betray him, and Jesus knows that when he betrays him, it's all going to begin. And he's going to go to the cross in crucifixion. And he says, "Now the Son of Man is glorified. The Father is glorified in him. If the Father is glorified in him, he will glorify him himself, and he'll do it right starting now. It's all going to happen. The Father is glorified in me, and I'm glorified in the Father right now because of what I'm doing. You're going to see the glory of God. And God's going to be glorified in everything that I'm doing right now." Well, then he says to his disciples, he's saying this to John. Now, John, get this. Verse 33, he says, "My children," he says, "I'll be on with you only a little while longer." And he says, "And as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I'm going, you can't go." And so he says, "I'm going to be leaving you." And then he says this most profound statement ever. He says to his disciples, and he looks at John, looks at Peter, looks at all the guys around the table, and he says, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, if you're following, he says, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus is going like, "I'm getting ready to leave. Now you got to pick it up and do exactly for each other what I've been doing for you." Imagine that. And so Peter had heard Jesus just say, "I'm going away, and where you go, I can't come." And so Peter asked him, in verse 36, he said, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus responded to him by saying, "Look, where I'm going, you can't follow, but you'll follow later." And Peter said, "Why can't I follow you? I'll lay down my life for you." And in verse 38, Jesus says to him, "Will you really lay down your life for me?" He said, "I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will deny me or disown me three times." So Jesus is looking at a guy who's his best friend. He's saying, "You're going to disown me before the night's over. Three times." Now, the context is pretty heavy, right? He's just washed his disciples' feet. He's just acknowledged that one of them is going to betray him, and another, his best friend, is going to disown him. And he's in this context, and he's just said, "I want you to love each other like I've loved you. I've set an example that you should do for each other like I've done for you." And here in this context, he then says to Peter, to John, to everybody who's in this place of going like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" He He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And then in verse 4, he says, you know the way to the place that I'm going. In verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then in verse 6, Jesus says something extremely profound. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want you to get this picture, guys. You know what all people picture when they picture God? They picture a place. He's going to prepare this place in heaven and this thing. And so I've got this place I'm going to be one day. It's going to be streets of gold and it's going to be all this kind of stuff. Interestingly, John's the one that had all that revelation later. John is the one that God gave the revelation of this new heaven and this new earth and all this glory and all this cool stuff. But as Jesus is revealing the Father and revealing himself and revealing who God really is, he's not talking about a place. He's talking about a relationship. He's saying, look, don't you realize that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm telling you, I am going to the Father so that you can be in relationship with the Father like I'm in relationship with the Father. It's all about relationships. The whole context begins with him saying, with John recognizing that Jesus had come from God and was returning to God. You remember the whole book began with, in the beginning was the Word, and that was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. He was there all along. If you've ever had the image of God, if you've pictured God alone, you have not pictured God. If you have an image of God as God, how many people have ever thought of God as this great being in heaven who was alone and lonely and eventually created earth and all that kind of stuff and created people so he could have somebody to love? That's not God. Jesus was with God before the world began. If you want to know about God, you can't know about God without knowing about relationships. He has been in relationship for all of eternity. The Father and the Son have had perfect love. If you want to see and picture God, you don't picture a perfect place. You picture a perfect love. If you want to know who God is, you can't imagine God if you see God as this being that's all self-absorbed. The most amazing thing about God is God can be absolutely perfectly self-sufficient. He doesn't need anybody but himself. But even within himself, he has love and relationship from the beginning for all of creation and beyond to all of eternity. God has loved. The Father and the Son have always been. And there has always been love. There's always been sacrifice. There has always been selflessness. There has always been submission. There's always been obedience. Everything that you see in relationships has always been. And so Jesus is saying, look, I'm going back to the Father now so that you can have relationship with the Father like you've seen I have. For all of eternity, the Son has been obedient to the Father. For all of eternity, the Son has been submissive to the Father. For all of eternity, God has had a heart of self-sacrifice and love and submission, and all the beautiful things that we see in relationships has always been in the heart of God. And He didn't need us. He didn't need us to love. He didn't need us to be complete. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had perfect love, perfect relationship, perfect goodness. Everything was just as it should be. And yet out of His grace, He created us and invited us the opportunity to join Him in that relationship. So picture what Jesus is saying to His disciples. Guys, I'm going back to the Father to where there's perfect love. It's not like this earth where there's mess and there's sin and there's bad stuff. I'm taking you to the holiness of the Father, the great and glorious King of kings and Lord of lords, and I have been with Him forever, and I will be with Him forever, and I have known His love, and He's loved me, and I've loved Him, and He's glorified me, and I've glorified Him. We've been in this beautiful relationship for all of eternity, and now I'm telling you, I'm going to prepare a place so that you can join us in that paradise forever, where you just have nothing but perfect love. Imagine a perfect love between a father and a son. And he's saying, then you get a little closer to start really getting the picture of who God is. So guess what? You can't truly get an image in your heart and mind of who God is if you don't picture relationship. Because he has always been in relationship. And so having said that, is it heavy enough yet? Heavy enough yet? So John's sitting there with Jesus and they're reclining at the table and he's just said all that. And he says all that and he says, look, I want you to know something. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the next words in verse 7, he says this. If you really knew me, if you really know me, it says in the New NIV, if you really know me, then you will know him. And then he says, from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. Now Jesus is saying something so profound and so powerful to John at that moment. He's saying, do you realize that if you know me, you know the Father. If you see me, you see the heart of the Father. I came to reveal exactly who God is. And John, if you've been in relationship with me and you know me, then you know the Father. Look, right here, this relationship is showing you what real relationship with God is all about. And so he says, from now on, you do know him and you've seen him. And so Philip pipes up. And as Philip speaks in verse 8, he says this. He says, Lord, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us. Everybody from the beginning of creation, everybody has this idea once we are extricated from the garden and stop walking with God in the cool of the day. It's always been this idea of, I could just see God. If I could just see him in all of his glory and see God, then that would be enough. And that's where Philip is. That'll be enough if you just show us God. Do you realize that what Jesus knew, what John knew, what Philip knew, what everybody knew was that according to the Bible, the Old Testament said, you can't see God and live. He is too holy. His glory will be too much for you. You can't see it. In the beginning of the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, no one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, that is Jesus, has made him known. Jesus has said in chapter 5 and chapter 6, if you've been reading, he has said two different times, nobody's ever seen God. And yet Philip's saying, show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. If we can just see the Father. Please tune in to verse 9 and listen to what Jesus says to Philip. Philip, don't you know me? Even after I've been with you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus is saying, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you even ask that? And then in verse 10, he says, don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? He said, the words I speak are not just my own. They're not just by my authority. He says, it's the Father living in me doing his work. In verse 11, he says, look, guys, I want you to do this. Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the count of the works themselves, the things I've been doing all around you. Don't you get it? I've been showing you the heart of the Father. Everything I have done has been showing you who God is and what he's really like. If you would have been listening and paying attention and getting to know me, then you would know the Father. What are the works he's been doing? Who noticed this in the book of John? It is so beautiful. Every single work he does is a work of self-sacrifice and love. It's all about relationships from the beginning to the end. The first miracle he performs is at a wedding feast. It's a celebration of love and relationships and everything he does, whether it's healing a man born blind, or you remember the relationship between him and Martha and Mary that Steve talked about last week, and then his love for Lazarus and his raising Lazarus from the dead. Every work he did came back to one thing, and that is love relationships. That's what it's all about. And the last work that he's done, and I like the fact that the New NIV uses the word works, which is, it doesn't say literally miracles there. He says, believe in the works. He's just done one. He's saying, just believe. I've done what only the Father can do, and if you would just pay attention to me and to my heart, you would see the heart of the Father. Don't you get it, man? Well, guys, I don't know about you, but when you start thinking about God and you stop thinking about a place. And you stop trying to picture this being, this omnipotent being out there somewhere who sent his son so one day I can get to that place along with him. How many people have had that anticipation? One day I'll get to this place. Ah! You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, I still don't know anything about him. So I picture streets of gold and I'm picturing this place. And he says, no, picture a place. Picture perfect love. Because if you look at me, you see the love of the Father in me. And you see my love for him and his love for me. And as I love you, you see the heart of the Father. You got to get it. Watch everything I've been doing. And on that, you can believe. You can know the Father. You have seen the Father. Well, I'm down there feeling for Oakley's with my toes. Got dirt all up under the nails, man. It was nasty. You know what I'm saying? Nasty. I'm standing back up on the board. I got these nasty toenails. And I just want to thank God that my image of God was no longer some being up on a throne in this little corner of the eons called heaven, that one day Jesus would get me there. But my image of God and my understanding of who God is came down to what Jesus had said to John and the other disciples. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen the way I love, you've seen the Father's love. Don't you understand? The Father has been about relationships for all of eternity. That's all that matters. And everything good and everything beautiful in relationships, I'm inviting you to be a part of. Well, right here, you can hear the disciples going, but you're going away. You're going away. I mean, and what you're supposed to be showing us the Father and the works that you're doing are supposed to make us believe and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus comes in with this most profound statement in verses 12 through 14. It'll rock your world. He says this. Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. In verse 13, just circle so that. Just circle so that. Steve was talking about this during our preview. That so that has such power, guys, because it's the reason he's saying, look, here's the thing. He's saying, if you have faith in me, you'll do what I've been doing. You'll do even greater things than these. Does that mean what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to build masses of wealth. You'll be able to have lots of great things. Jesus would make you a promise right now. I'll give you a house just as nice as mine. For those of you who aren't laughing, you don't know that Jesus didn't have a house. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I'm not talking about you're going to amass great riches. I'm not talking about you're going to do great things in the eyes of the world. John himself later wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he said, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. John is saying, look, get this picture. It's about relationships, man. It's about relationships, and that's what matters. And when Jesus makes the promise that you'll do even greater things than I'm doing, he's saying, I just washed your feet. I'm getting ready to lay down my life for you, and you're going to do that and more. Do you get the picture? You're going to be able to love like I love. I'm going to give you the ability to love your wife or your husband when they feel absolutely impossible to love. I'm going to give you the capacity to love even those who hate you. Don't you realize that Jesus was sitting around the table? He washed the feet of the guy who was about to betray him. He washed the feet of the guy who was going to deny even knowing him before the sun came up. He said, you will be able to love as good as I love. You will be able to do what I've been doing and even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. How did the Son bring glory to the Father? You remember back in verses 31 and 32 of chapter 13, God was glorified because the Son showed the love of the Father. When he showed the heart of the Father and he gave this ultimate sacrifice of his life, the Father was glorified in the Son. And he's saying, guess what? The Father's going to be glorified in the Son through you. And then they're going like, but wait a minute. You said you're leaving, and where you're going, I can't come. So in verse 15, he gets clear. He just says this in verse 15. He says, look, if you love me, obey what I command. What was his command? Love each other like I've loved you. I want you to be radical, sacrificial. I want you to love like only God can love. If you love me, obey what I command. And then he said, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor or advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world won't see me anymore, but you'll see me because I live, you also will live. Anybody confused yet? Jesus just made it so beautifully clear. He said, look, the Father's been working in me. I'm getting ready to go back to the Father's side, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is coming. And when the Holy Spirit fills you, guess what? I fill you. Because when you see me, you see the Father. We are exactly one. If you see me, you see him. If you experience me, you experience him. If you have him, you have me. And in the same way with the Holy Spirit, we have all always been perfectly one. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, guess what? You will be filled with me. I'm going to put my love into your heart. I'm going to make you like myself. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. So when the Holy Spirit is with you, I'm with you. As much as I am sitting at this table right now, I am with you. And as Jesus says that, the disciples, John starts to put it together a little bit. It's like, wait a minute. You mean right now when it comes to the Father, I shouldn't be picturing some place that I'm going one day. I should picture a relationship that I already can have. And I should picture a relationship that isn't going to end just because Jesus bodily has gone away from me, because by his Holy Spirit, I'm going to be in that perfect love relationship. And so I'll have a relationship with the Father because his Spirit lives in me. Wow. So then he says in verse 21, he says, whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. He's saying, look, here's the thing. If you'll obey what I command, that's how you'll show me you love me. Because all the time, what did Jesus keep saying? I love the Father. And you know how you know I love the Father? Because I do whatever he commands me to do. My love for him is shown in my obedience to the Father. And as you obey the Father and you obey me, you're going to be showing your love. And guess what? If you'll do that, then I'll come and make my home with you. I will come by my Spirit and live in your heart. I'll fill you. You'll never be without me. And so Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said in verse 22, he said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, you're going to come and make yourself known to us, but you're not going to make yourself known to the world. And Jesus responds in verse 23 by saying this. He says, if anyone loves me, they'll obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. You know what that word home is? It's the same word as room back in the place where he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be in a relationship with the Father, and guess what? That relationship is ready right now. That relationship is ready right now. And one day, yes, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and all that stuff is going to come. But you don't have to wait till then to be in a relationship with me. I want to come and make my home with you. The Father wants to come and make his home with you. For all of eternity, I lived in a love relationship with the Father, and he with me and the Holy Spirit. And we lived in love for all of eternity. And now, by the Holy Spirit coming into you, you're going to be able to live that same relationship of love. And you are going to bring glory to the Father as all the world looks on and sees me in you. And so that's why John... Read 1 John, the book of 1 John, and read all he writes about love. Do you know that in chapter 13 through 17 of this book of John, the gospel that we're reading now, love is mentioned 31 times. 31 times. It was only 6 times for the first 12 chapters. And in this last little piece, when Jesus is getting ready to leave, he's saying, It's all about love, guys. It's all about relationships, guys. That's all that matters. And so I'm digging my toes through the bottom of the Waccamaw River looking for Oakleys, and all of a sudden it hits me. Oakleys don't matter. Don't ask me to find Oakleys. I don't care if you ever find your Oakleys. You know what matters? Love matters. And I look up and going off on paddle boards in the distance and little kayaks are people that I love. And coming the other direction are other people that God loves and wants them to know His love. And He's saying, get it. The reason I left you on the planet is so that I could live in you and fill you with my love. And just like you have seen the glory of the Father in me, you have seen this glorious, awesome God that lives in unapproachable light, the glory of the Father, and you've wondered what He was like. Why couldn't we even approach Him? Why couldn't we see Him and live? Because He is so powerful in love that you couldn't stand it. But that very God now lives in you. Go love. Go love like I love. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Lord God, it's our prayer that you would help us to get up from this place today and go out realizing that when we're looking for you, we don't need to be imagining a place. We need to be remembering a relationship. You are perfect in love. And thank you for inviting us into that love. And thank you for helping us live that love. Thank you for making your home with us. Thank you for coming into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are with us and in us. Help us in the way that we love bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.